Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Real Shirt Box. My name is Kevin.
I'm Donald.
And I will always be your Jared.
Yes. And today we are doing another wonderful, powerful superhero smackdown. We have today the Battle of the Elements, the Battle of the Supernaturals, and the Battle of the Power Brokers.
So Sam and Dean's in there, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. I like that.
All right, we're going to start with the Battle of the Power Brokers, because I'm excited to hear this match of a Mr. Jared.
Call me Mr. J. All right, yeah, the Battle of the Power Brokers, the shirtless Power Brokers, because these two guys that I have chosen, and that's right, I did something new. I just did a one-on-one, everybody. No teams today for me. But maybe somebody else brought one. So yeah, my guys like to fight shirtless. They're very sophisticated, but they like to just show off their pecs and their abs when they're fighting.
These are manly men.
Mm. And these men are Ra's al Ghul, the Demon's Head, and Sebastian Shaw, the Black King, leader of the Inner Circle of the Hellfire Club.
Now those names are very regal.
Oh my god, yes. Ra's or wait, let me just real quick. How do you say it?
I mean, I usually call him Ra's al Ghul, but Ra's al Ghul, I mean, I guess it's potato potato. What do you think, Donald?
Yeah. I would go with Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's. See, look at that. See, we even in the you said Ra. See, people say Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul.
I think in the animated series they call him Ra's. If I'm correct.
And I think in the...
Batman Begins, and if you call him, like, Ra's al Ghul.
Do they?
If I recall.
And then I think they all... Well, then also, I think Bane's like, Ra's al Ghul! So, yeah, I don't
that's
know.
That's true. That's true.
I think who created him? Was it Dennis O'Neill,
Dennis O'Neill, I believe.
I think he said it once, and I forgot. But either way, I'm going to go with Ra's today. Ra's al Ghul, the Ghoul's Head, or Demon's Head, he is commonly an adversary of the Batman. He first appeared in Batman number 232, The Daughter of the Demon, in 1971. He's one of Batman's most enduring enemies, and...
Was it... What issue was it? It was 232, right?
232, yeah, 1971.
I think I have that issue, right?
It's a good book.
I believe you do, sir.
Yeah, that is it. That's a... It's got a great cover. It's like a green cover with...
Yeah. With the...
One of those classic Bronze Age issues.
Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. He is the leader of the League of Assassins. And like I was saying before, Ra's al Ghul translates in Arabic to the Demon's Head. Nice. He is the son of Sensei, the father of Talia al Ghul and Nissa Ratko, and grandfather of Damian Wayne. His powers, let's get to those. He has a genius-level intellect, peak physical conditioning, superior strength and stamina. He is a master of martial arts and hand-to-hand combat for centuries. He is better, they've said, than Batman because of the time he's had to train.
Right.
And the reason he's been able to train so long is because he's nearly immortal due to the Lazarus pits that he he bathes in occasionally when he wants to rejuvenate himself and continue his quote-unquote immortality.
Now, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Nice right? I'm feeling a little old today. My knee's giving me some trouble. Just gonna go bathe in the Lazarus pit.
I'm feeling a little peakish. What is it? Peakish.
Yeah.
Swordsmanship, fencing, a little alchemy and demonology, marksmanship and acrobatics. He's a worldly man. He's been around for quite some time, and yeah, he can revive himself pretty much anytime he goes into those pits. And like I was saying, I think the biggest thing right there is he can kick Batman's ass. And I think he has before. He's definitely given him a run for his money, especially when his shirt's off, because he likes to take his shirt off.
Yeah.
Next, we have Sebastian. I love this. He has a middle name, too. Sebastian Hiram Shaw.
Hiram?
Yes. Mm. Shaw is the leader of the New York Hellfire Club branch, an exclusive secret society bent on world domination. He once funded the Mutant Hunting Sentinel program, even though he himself is a mutant. And his powers are the ability to absorb energy to enhance his physical attributes and healing. He also possesses access to sophisticated weaponry and telepathic blocking technology. And I'm just going to go in a little more on his powers, because he's actually the one with powers. He's a mutant, as I said before, with the unique ability to absorb all kinetic and thermal energy directed at him and use it to augment his strength, speed, stamina, and recuperation capabilities to superhuman levels. He's gone toe-to-toe with Colossus and thrown him like a rag doll. He's absorbed Cyclops' optic blasts. By absorbing successive blows from an opponent, Shaw can surpass the physical abilities of said opponent and then overpower them. His speed is the attribute most dramatically increased by his power, and after absorbing enough energy, he can attack more quickly than opponents can react. Now, what I liked in reading about his powers, what I thought was cool, is they said in the morning, to just kind of juice himself up, and I think they showed it in some of his early first appearances in those early Claremont Burn issues, he punches walls just to kind of build up the kinetic energy, just to kind of get all juiced up.
Nice.
And then there was another one saying he has his men... his opponents try and pummel him so that he would not need to sleep for some time because it also gives him enough energy to just stay awake and stuff like that. So he's just like, all right, guys, kick my ass for a little bit. Oh, yeah. All right, I'm juiced up. Go the fuck. Leave me alone.
He's kind of into some BDSM kind of stuff, it sounds like.
Yeah, he's just like, I can take it. Peg me. Whoa. Emma, peg me. Whoa. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. So with that... Let the smackdown begin. Sorry, I got a little Sean Connery there.
Yeah, you did.
You're the man now, dog. I gotta say, is these guys are definitely equal in the power broking. And in fact, I might even tip it to Ra's al Ghul a little bit more because he's been around longer. I think Shaw's aging has been... I mean, I know they do it in the First Class movie, they talk about it, but in the comics, it's not, I don't think, as excessive. Like, he's not, like, immortal, but it definitely, I think, being able to absorb the energy has kept him young and
keeps the cells young.
Yeah, keeps the cells
kind of
young.
Vampiric?
Yeah, kind of. And they both have their armies at their beck and call.
A lot of money, too.
Yeah, League of Assassins and, yeah, all that power. Hellfire Club, the Inner Circle... And his minions, you know, the mercenaries who work for the Hellfire Club. So to see those two groups go into an epic battle would be awesome. I would totally pay lots of money to see that crossover of the DC and Marvel universe happen. But in a one-on-one fight between the two of them, I have to say I give it hands down to Sebastian Shaw. Now, why? It's because they've also said... that Sebastian Shaw can take the kinetic energy from bladed weapons coming at him, any kind of weapon coming at him. So it doesn't matter if Ra's al Ghul is coming at him with swords. And I would say Ra's al Ghul is a better fighter than Sebastian Shaw by far. In fact, I would say Ra's al Ghul could kick handedly Sebastian Shaw's ass in a physical fight. But Sebastian Shaw is almost an Omega-level mutant as far as his kinetic energy absorption is. And I'm thinking him... All he's going to do is just absorb the blows, and then just snap Ra's al Ghul's neck. Like, I don't even see it. I could see it being, if it was like their groups and their organizations against one another, I could see that being very cunning and very chess versus chess.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the fighting goes, unless Ra's al Ghul had some kind of powers... But if he's just fighting him physically, it doesn't matter how skilled he is. It doesn't matter if he was going against Batman, Daredevil, you know, all, mm-hmm. The best fighters in the mm-hmm. world. If he's just absorbing the kinetic energy and then he himself can just channel it back however he wants to, it's kind of, you know, like he's taken just straight up punches by Colossus and just like laughed at it.
It's kind of like this weird version of like Aikido.
Right.
You know, he's kind of resorted right back at, repel it right back at the person, you know, their energy, their physicality.
Using a bat, but even like a hundredfold.
I'm gonna agree with Jared 100% on this. And
this is painful for you, by the way.
It is, because...
you love Ra's al Ghul.
I do. I love Ra's, whatever you want to call him. I love all the versions.
Yeah.
Anyway, I see it as kind of like a Rob Roy type scenario where Sebastian Shaw is basically Liam Neeson and Ra's is basically Tim Roth.
Tim Roth. That's so funny. I was just thinking of that movie.
He has the finesse and the experience.
The foppish.
Liam, Liam has the brute force and the strength. So while he, you know, when he landed that sword into his hand and he just kind of grasped it, and, you know, he kept taking all these hits and these cuts and eventually kind of just pulled him towards him and took him out.
Right.
And that's just the way it was. Sebastian is a brute.
Right.
And he's got endless amounts of strength.
Right.
Raj is very experienced and he's cunning and he's got the finesse, but he doesn't have endless amounts of strength.
Right.
And he's just going to get overpowered. He's going to get cowed.
Right.
Is what I used to call it when, like, I would set on my nieces and fart. I would call it. It was cowing them, you know, because they couldn't get up because you were just
You might, terrible. In your brain, have ways to get out of this, but you're not going to.
Because I'm just too heavy.
Yeah, I'm too heavy and the farts are too stinky.
Right. So that's where I agree with you.
And I even thought, too, like, even if they were fighting near a Lazarus pit and he jumped into the Lazarus pit, got rejuvenated, you know, when he comes in, when he comes out of it, he's, like, crazed. So even then, he could just, like I said, he could handedly give him an ass whooping. Like, there's no comparison as far as skill level in fighting. But Sebastian Shaw is just going to be like, that's great. You gave me some great kicks. And were I a normal person, I'd be dead. But I'm not. I'm a mutant. And I've just absorbed all that. And you've only made me stronger.
By the way, you know whose power is similar to Sebastian Shaw's? Bishop.
Bishop in the energy level.
The energy level.
You know who actually, another mutant who's pretty much identical to Sebastian Shaw? Strong Guy.
Strong Guy.
Yep. Except Strong Guy, the only difference is he gains muscle mass.
Right.
But pretty much it's the same type of power, which is why he was almost on my X-Men team when we...
Thought you were going to do it.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I thought Strong Guy's on your team, but no.
Now he's my second alternate. Going back to another show. But yeah. Yeah. So that's 2-4. You, Kevin, what is your...
You know, I can't disagree. I mean, this is, like you said, when you have that mutant energy of kinetic energy, you can be able to repel and absorb
right
people's blows like that. There's nothing you can do. There's really nothing much you can do about it.
The only way I could see it being any different, not one-on-one, but is if it was organizations versus organizations.
Right, League of Assassins versus Hellfire Club. Which, like you said, that would be an awesome...
I'd pay to see that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll get on it, I'll write it all by myself, and then I'll pitch it to nobody. I'll sit in a closet and pitch it to the world.
You can pitch it to your daughters.
Yeah. Girls, what do you think? Yeah, that's great, Dad. Yeah, can I have a lollipop now?
Yeah. Can we watch Frozen for the 1300th time?
Do you want to build a snowman? All right, so...
I guess I'll go next.
Kevin?
I have the Battle of the Elements. I have the great Omega-level mutant, Bobby Drake, the Iceman, ooh, one of the original X-Men, versus Mr. Firestorm, Ronnie Raymond.
That reminds me, those Frosties at Wendy's are delicious.
Are they now?
I thought you were going to say the Battle of the Elements. Snow versus a hot summer day.
Yes.
Ah, there you go. Yeah.
A blizzard versus a heat wave.
A heat wave.
By the way, Wendy's is sponsoring this, but no, they're not, actually. That'd be cool if they were. But Wendy's.
Did I mention these square meat patties are to die for? Wendy's.
Fresh, never frozen.
Yeah. So... Bobby Drake versus Ronnie. This is the Ronnie Raymond, the original version, right?
Yes, of Firestorm.
And what was the Martin Stein, was it?
Yes, Professor Stein was like his link, you know, this guide.
Oh, so you're going with Ronnie?
Yeah, I'm going Ronnie.
Okay, because you could have gone with the other guy.
Jason Roush?
Yeah, the newer guy.
Well, I could.
Or even the one from Legends of Tomorrow, whatever his name was. I can't remember. It was Sucky McSuck.
They're doing the mix, right? With the Legends? They're doing like the Jason Rush. Is it Rush, though?
No, it's
not.
No,
it is. It's Ronnie Raymond, isn't it?
No, it's not Ronnie.
Is it another one?
Ronnie Raymond was, and then the guy that was playing him.
That's right.
Didn't want to do it anymore. So basically, they just kind of got rid of him.
And he was the brother of Arrow.
No.
Yeah, the original Firestorm guy was Stephen Amell's.
Cousin, in real life.
In real life.
Okay, all right. Yeah. That I didn't know.
Yeah.
See all these wonderful connections.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legend sucks, by the way. Anyway, go on.
Yes. Iceman, Bobby Drake.
We are not sponsored by Legends.
Nope. At least not yet.
No.
Iceman, Bobby Drake, first appeared in X-Men number 1 back in 1963. And he has the ability to freeze the moisture in the air and create objects such as slides, ladders, projectiles. And, of course, he can coat his entire body with organic ice.
And Vaseline.
And Vaseline.
And he was the best in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends when he'd be like, remember how he tried to freeze himself and then break out.
That was cool.
That was cool. When I was a kid, I tried to like copy that. It was awesome.
Yeah, you put yourself in the freezer, huh?
Well, no.
And how?
I wouldn't be here today if I did that. He can also augment his shape and size. He's demonstrated the ability to animate ice forms by creating figures. He also can create clones of himself if necessary.
Yeah, he kind of went Omega level, right?
He's a Omega level mutant.
Yeah.
Of course, these clones don't gain intelligence.
He also turned gay, didn't he?
And then they...
What's that?
They made the character gay.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. But then I don't know if they went back on it.
At one point, Beast, I think, was gay, too. Or they were talking
and
about...
Alan Scott was gay.
Dr. McCoy?
Yeah, they made it... Like, they made all the X-Men gay, I think.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
Wow, I did not know that.
I just don't like when it was like that. It was just like, now he's gay. Because it was just like...
Right.
It was just a prop. It wasn't like a real, like... character development.
It's a way to make money, to cash in on something. Which I understand, but as a comic purist, and that sounds terrible, but as a, you know, I like my comic book characters to be the way they were created.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean that you can't change them, and by all means, please do. But if you do, I mean, there's so many avenues to take. Like, for DC, they have Elseworlds, and,
or create a real character, Wildstorm, Midnighter, and Apollo. They were originally a gay couple.
Right.
And have been since.
And that was great. Yeah. It worked really well for the characters. And you were like, man, these guys are badasses. Yeah, you know, exactly. They're kicking ass. Yeah, it was cool.
Let's see. And Bobby can also augment his size. He has the ability to grow to heights of over 100 feet. And a side effect of this alteration is that he's superhuman strength to match his larger form. If damaged, he can reform damaged or missing body parts. While physically and mentally taxing, this ability can be used to reform his entire body if necessary, as he is able to reform himself to ice or water vapor.
Cool. Jesus. I remember seeing the growing, the size alteration going like, oh man, they really like kicked Iceman up like 10 notches.
Oh yes. And under Emma Frost's control and guidance, he was able to turn himself into liquid, travel in the form through a body of water, and return back to his organic ice form.
Wow.
Yes.
That's nuts.
Pretty impressive.
You remember why? Remember who? It was that story where, was it Mikhail Rasputin, the brother of Colossus?
Of Colossus, yes.
Like, had like energy manipulating powers, and he like did all this crazy stuff with them and was kind of like, don't you see how powerful you actually are? Like, I'm, like, making you into water and all this stuff. Like, he kind of, by kicking his ass, he showed him.
Show him, hey, you got these other abilities.
Yeah. I'm still kicking your ass, but just
let you know, you're pretty you're pretty powerful, buddy.
You could be if you wanted to be. Now, here's a smack.
And he can shift through any phase of water. Iceman has also demonstrated the ability to control chemical reactions involving heat exchange and can prevent people with fire-based abilities from using their powers.
You can also make your drinks really cold.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Great for parties. Yeah.
Now, a weakness of his, if he gets extremely tired or has been mentally taxed, his powers begin to become dysfunctional.
Isn't that everybody, though?
Yeah, it's everybody. But, you know, he is human, so, you know, at some point, things start to break down.
Well, he ain't no human. He's a mutant.
He's a
dirty mutie.
I'm sorry. Whoa, I really just let my real feelings show
you
there.
You just offended some people.
I'm sorry, I just think we should build a wall and keep out all the muties. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my goodness.
There's some definite parallels we could bring up with the X-Men and what's going on in today's
Always with the X-Men.
That's true.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Now, Firestorm, Ronnie Raymond, first appeared in Firestorm, the Nuclear Man number 1.
That's incorrect. That is incorrect.
I looked up at this. I looked at three different places. Well, tell me the first one.
I'm kidding. No, that's correct.
Oh, the set. Like, you're like,
you
look
at the pitch.
I'm looking at three different places. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway.
Firestorm. Sorry. I will say this, though. There, if you look at the character Firestorm, it's amazing how many characters first appeared in his books.
It's true.
Yeah, that's right. That's like Blue Devil, you showed me that
Blue
one.
Blue Devil, Slipknot.
Mm-hmm. Not the band.
Not the shitty band.
Killer Frost.
Uh-huh.
What else? Like a couple more. There's like at least two or three more that appeared in his books. It's really cool.
Wasn't it? Oh, no, that was Teen Titans. I was going to say the Captain Carrot and the Zoo Crew, but I think that was a Teen Titans.
Yeah, I think that was a Teen Titans book.
But it could have been cool. Anyway, yes. Go on.
Ronnie, Firestorm the Nuclear Man, number one, Make Way for Firestorm was his first appearance in 1978. Now, his many vast powers, Mr. Firestorm. One is molecular manipulation. He has the ability to rearrange the atomic and subatomic structure of inorganic matter, rearranging subatomic particles to create objects of different atomic characteristics of equal mass. And he also has the ability to do transmutation. He can transmute lead into gold of equal mass. And he has also the ability to change its shape.
Can he spin straw into gold?
You know, that's a good question.
Yeah. Maybe.
That'd be pretty cool.
I actually always thought transmutation was one of the coolest powers. But just the ability to turn, like, anything into something else is just, like, it's kind of one of those, like, limitless powers, if you know what you're doing, I guess.
That's true.
Anything else on his power level?
Also, he can do concussive energy blast.
Those always help.
Flight.
Nice.
Telepathic links. So he could telepathically link with Professor Stein.
Right.
As well as the other Firestorm in recent stories, Mr. Jason Roosh.
Who did he meld with? Was it like a girl or?
No, I thought it was Raymond.
Was it Raymond at first? Yeah. Wait. No, Raymond got killed.
Raymond got killed, and Jason
by Shining Knight's sword. It was a cool death. Shadow Thief stole Shining Knight's sword.
Oh.
Stabbed him, and like he went nuclear.
What issue? What?
Oh God! What was it?
It's not. I want to say, not Infinite Crisis. It was like one of those.
I think it was an Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis.
I'm going to have to reread that.
I think you're right. Jason Rush, I think him and his girlfriend at some point were like together as Firestorm, if I recall. Yes. And then I think she got killed by like the Black Lantern, like Ronnie Raymond. He actually killed. That's why they were beefing for a while, because he blamed him for the death of his girlfriend.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Right.
It's all coming back to you.
Also, Firestorm can do energy manipulation, generate destructive and concussive blasts of fusion energy from his hands to absorb radiation harmlessly. He's basically a nuclear fusion, reactor, basically walking around.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Intangibility. Raymond can render himself intangible and thereby pass through solid objects harmlessly. And also another thing I discovered, which I didn't know, TimeSight can play back memories of the Firestorm Matrix. Possesses the ability of limited time sight, allow him to see the Matrix's past or future while dreaming. And one last thing, enhanced vision. Actually, at least the other side, he can see atomic...
Oh, so he can, like, add, like, a DVD player or something to
maybe
vision?
Maybe Blu-ray.
The enhanced vision?
Maybe Blu-ray.
Oh, that was really lame. I'm sorry.
That was the worst comic joke ever, and yet very awesome because of that.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to go sit in the corner. I'm time-outing myself.
Vision, I'm doing a crossover real quick. I'm going to enhance you. That was the weirdest crossover ever.
He can see atomic interactions and structure of molecules. He can also see the ultraviolet spectrum and detect thermal signatures. He also has microscopic and telescopic vision.
Ooh.
Very Superman-like, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And now, let the smackdown begin!
Dun, dun, dun!
You know, I had a difficult time trying to figure out who would win this one at first, because Bobby Drake over the years is becoming so powerful as this mega-level mutant. You also brought up with Mikhail showing him, his other things he can do. And interestingly enough, as I mentioned, he has the ability to shut down people with fire abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But, as I did my research, Firestorm is more than fire.
Right.
He's energy. He's nuclear fusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't necessarily mean much. And that's why I believe Firestorm, in the end, would squeak this one out. Iceman would put up a great fight. I could see Firestorm melting Iceman, down to, liquid form, and, Bobby Drake, going down the drain, or is to say the fight's over the ocean or something like that. He'll reform himself, reconstitute himself.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really matters, the thing that's going to make the difference in this very excellent and most righteous of fights, would be the ability to transmute.
Yeah, that's a huge power.
And, for example, he could transmute the air around Bobby, around Iceman, and basically turn him into anything, turn him into another object.
Right.
And, seal him up, throw him out in space into the to a star or something like that.
And get him on a playground.
Get him on a playground.
Encase him in glass.
Encase him in glass.
And then just pump that glass case filled with oxygen.
Oxygen.
And or, then just light it on fire.
Or something else. As you know, water is H2O. It's made of two different molecules. Right. Or two different elements, hydrogen and oxygen.
Right.
He can separate that in of itself. He can actually separate molecules.
And create he can. Yeah. He can hydrogenize Bobby, but what if Bobby then, it, as a alpha level mutant, is able to control
Alpha
for me. He'll always be my alpha. Can like control himself in that form, gets into his lungs, and then crystallizes and reforms back into ice
it's
and
ice.
Expands out.
And
explodes.
Explodes.
He can add mass. Iceman can add mass to himself.
Yes, he can.
If he was by an ocean, could he make that part of him and even become
like a giant,
like, yeah, like a giant,
like
ice
a
monster.
Crazy.
He could,
giant.
He could.
But I mean, that's also
that's
location.
Also
a, yeah, they did a thing where
location.
It was like an alternative future, and it was this. This was a run that wasn't too long ago. It was Brian Michael Bendis, I think, that wrote it. It was like the all new X-Men or something.
Uh huh.
And in there, some of the mutants from the future came back to the past to try to stop the young mutants from being there or something. They were like, this is interfering, they need to go. And one of the characters was Ice, was supposed to be Iceman, but it ended up being like one of the creatures, I think, if
oh,
I'm
really?
Correct. One of the offshoots of Iceman that he created.
Okay.
And it's this big, ginormous ice monster creature thing.
Oh, really?
That could talk and stuff, but he was just like this huge creature ice monster. And it was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It was I think you'd dig it, man. It was a cool run for a little while.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up because that would be interesting. I mean, you know, this is the way to Bobby to stay in the game.
Right.
But, like I said, along with molecular manipulation and transmutation, yeah, another little weapon in the arsenal could be the other Firestorm. He has the ability, Ronnie can call upon Jason Rush to
right.
merge with him and can form an even more powerful composite Firestorm. And,
I mean,
and
honest,
that would be bad news.
And I don't even think he needs that. To me, honestly, I think if it was like a 10 out of 10, Iceman could maybe win 4 times just out of being creative.
Right.
Or getting the right, like something like getting in his lungs, like something like that.
Right.
But I would say a majority of the time I'd give it to
Firestorm. You know, if Iceman was going against Firestar, the Human Torch, any of the Human Torches for that matter.
Right.
I would give it to Iceman.
All 17 Human Torches.
Yes.
Android, the partner, the other. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But as I said earlier, Firestorm is more than just simply fire.
No, transmutation.
Transmutation.
To me, like,
nuclear fusion, you can't mess with that.
Yeah. To me, there's just certain powers that are like up there. Like there's the Superman abilities. Telekinesis to me is like up there. And transmutation is up there because it's just like it's this god power where you can turn one thing into another, you
right.
know, and it's just.
Telekinesis, Kyle.
Yeah.
That's right.
And by the way, like I said, Iceman will give a good fight, but at the end of the day, I mean, when you get to that transmutation and molecular manipulation, and like I said, separating the atoms,
yeah,
that's not good.
I forgot how much I liked Iceman when I was a kid. Especially the figure
mm-hmm.
that they came out with, the X-Men one. A lot of them, when they first came out with them, were not so great.
No.
I mean, they were just okay.
Right.
But the Iceman one was kind of cool. I always thought he was cool because he's almost clear-like.
Iceman was, yeah. And it's funny we were talking about Iceman because I was just thinking about, like, how we just, the names of characters, how it's such a general, Iceman, Spider-Man, like these, like, names. It's like, I just started thinking, I was like, I'm like, that must have sounded really corny when they first, like, came up with the X-Men. Like, Cyclops is a cool name.
Mm-hmm.
Angel, whatever. Marvel
Beast.
Girl is cool. Beast is cool. But Iceman, he's a man of ice. But yeah, he's always been cool. I've always loved Iceman. And
yeah.
I think it's because I grew up with Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was like my favorite cartoon growing up as a kid.
It's funny you mention it. You talk about those original Iceman. Marvel Girl always sounded weird to me.
Marvel Girl?
Iceman's made sense to me, but Marvel Girl sounded just really weird. Oh, she's the Marvel Girl.
Well, as soon
yeah.
as they could get rid of that, they did. They're like, she's Phoenix or Jean Grey, and that's it.
Yep.
She-Hulk, I thought, was kind of a dumb name for the
She-Hulk.
Longest time.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a female Hulk, so they call her She-Hulk.
Well,
okay.
I guess they're trying to, you know, like She-Ra.
I guess what
Maybe.
We're doing is really just calling out some of these early comic creators.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. Sorry, Stan Lee.
Most
you
of
fa-
you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, he didn't.
You did
Not
fine.
At all.
You did okay.
No.
So, you gentlemen,
Thank
are,
you.
Are you gentlemen in agreement with me? Do you believe that at the end of the day, Firestorm would take this?
I'm gonna have to
go ahead.
I'm sorry, challenge but me. I'm definitely gonna side with you on this. I think, and I apologize to everybody about this because I like to be the devil's advocate a lot. But yeah, Firestorm, even with the inexperience that he has, he's still gonna get lucky. And like Jarrett said, 6 to 8 times out of 10, most likely 8 times out of 10, he's gonna be able to whoop on Iceman pretty bad and just totally take him off the table there, off the
right
the board.
He's just got too many angles to come at him with.
Yeah.
And by the way, depending on which version I'm using, with Professor Stein in him, I mean, galore, you know the man's a brilliant man. Mm-hmm. Actually, yeah. They're both very smart guys, so hey, this is what you do. You know?
It was always like, when I was a kid, though, that always bothered me when there was somebody in somebody else's head.
Right.
That bothered the shit. And I'm not schizophrenic at all, just so you guys know.
It just scared me.
But it really bothered me that somebody else was in his head just talking to him. And, you know, like, and he's like, no, I don't want to do that. But you got to do that, Ronnie. You know, I thought that was so dumb.
What was a kid?
Like, why?
As a kid, too, I think, like, when you heard Firestorm, you just thought he had fire powers.
Yeah.
Because he had a flaming head. He has fire powers.
Yeah, it's a little misleading.
I remember him, though. Remember when they added him to Super Friends? And he would, because they had no new characters forever. And then all of a sudden, like, Firestorm joined.
Superpowers, when he became Superpowers.
Superpowers, that's what I added.
Yeah.
The Superpowers. And I just remember going, like, wow, this guy's new and he's cool and he's got a fire head. And then they came with the toy. I was like,
his costume was kind of unique. You know, he had, like, the atoms spinning around.
Yeah, it's a cool costume. Captain Atom would be kicking himself with this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why didn't I do that? All right, so. For three, everybody's agreeing.
I know. What's going on here? What's wrong? We're all a bunch of lemmings here sitting at the table.
No. So I'm usually the one with the teams, but like I said, I didn't do a team today, but somebody else did.
You have a team here, the Battle of the Supernatural teams?
I do, guys. I decided to do a team this time. It's my first team, everybody, so please be gentle.
Breaking his team, Cherry.
I am, yes. That's absolutely getting popped.
My God, man, you have 20 pages there?
I have, for this, I have 7. So I
strap in.
I was very thorough. Okay. Everyone, very thorough in my in my analysis. But I have the Midnight Suns versus the Justice League Dark.
Oh wow.
I am excited for this. So the Midnight Suns, basically Justice League Dark, they're relatively powerful team. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the Midnight Suns, I don't know if a lot of people know about the Midnight Suns. So I thought I would take some of the old, some of the new, and some of the alternative Earth versions and just kind of throw them all onto one team and see what kind of a hodgepodge we could get. This is a toss salad of fun, let me tell you. So the Midnight Suns, we're going to start with them. We're going to start out with Danny Ketch.
Okay.
The second Ghost Rider after Johnny Blaze.
Who I think is very underrated. I think that first run of his by, who wrote that?
Fabian.
I'm going to side with Fabian on this one. I love that first
run. I would have sided with Fabian by just simply including him.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have.
No,
by
I
you
haven't.
Including
Did
one of
Fabian
his...
create him?
Not originally, no.
There we go, then.
Agree to disagree, Fabian.
Yeah. You're not winning this round, Fabian. Not with me. Anyway. So I go with this version of Ghost Rider. His powers, we've talked about Ghost Rider in the past. His powers, he's got superhuman strength, speed, stamina, and durability. He's got a penance stare, which is the ability to cause others to experience a level of emotional pain equivalent to that which they have caused others. He has a magical chain, and he has the ability to summon a wall of flame. He also possesses hellfire, so he can spit out hellfire, comes out of his eyes, mouth, ears, wherever the hell he wants to come out with it. My second choice for this team of Midnight Suns was none other than Blade.
Nice. Mm.
And every time I deal with Blade, I just love him. He's a human-vampire hybrid with all the strengths but none of the weaknesses of a traditional vampire. His powers, he's got superhuman strength, stamina, speed, agility, heightened senses, and a rapid healing factor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of like a little Wolverine.
Pretty badass,
Very badass.
And he can operate in the daytime.
Right. And the
Daywalker.
Third one I threw in here was Doctor Strange.
Oh, shit.
So I'm overpowering this team like a mother.
Yeah. Well, you got it. When you're going Marvel versus DC, you got to stack the deck.
Right.
Yeah.
So he is the mightiest magician in the cosmos and the Sorcerer Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
He's powers...
I call him Friend.
You call him Friend? Oh, that's
nice.
Yeah,
me and Stevie.
His powers, Strange also, what he wields is the mystical artifacts, including the Cloak of Levitation, That enables him to fly the Eye of Agamotto, which is an amulet whose light is used to negate evil magic. He has the Book of Vishanti. It contains knowledge of white magic and stuff like that. And the Orb of Agamotto, a crystal ball which is used for clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. He has so many powers.
Yeah.
He's Sorcerer Supreme, guys. Yeah. He's a big one. I also stacked the deck again. I put in Damien Hellstorm.
Nice.
The Son of Satan. His powers, he can cast spells to transport himself and others into mystical dimensions and back to Earth. He can project mystical energy in the form of soul fire.
Soul fire.
Like also that. Called hellfire.
Right. It's like the name of a restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, soul food restaurant.
Right. Soul fire. He can project that from his trident, which creates a concussive blast as well. He could use the soul fire for various other effects, including flight and physical transformations. He has superhuman strength and occasional time travel. Okay. Hellstorm is also an expert in demonology and a highly experienced exorcist with some knowledge of mystic rites.
Hmm.
He's a big one, guys.
Yeah, he's tough. He
definitely comes into play. Fifth and foremost, what is a team of Midnight Suns without a man thing?
Nice.
Former scientist who was transformed into a large, slow-moving, empathetic humanoid swamp monster living in the Florida Everglades. His powers are he's able to sense human emotions and is enraged by fear and automatically secretes a poisonous chemical. Anyone feeling fear and clutched by the man thing is prone to be burned.
Yeah, he who knows fear burns at the touch of the man
thing. Right.
Yeah.
He has superhuman strength, speed, intelligence, durability, immortality. Give the monster power, it is his spiritual ability that makes him immune to any other diseases. He can reorganize himself by drawing the necessary material from the surrounding vegetation as well. Hmm. So he has some ties to the plant life.
Okay.
Sounds like someone we know.
Now, number six on my team. We can't have Blade and not have Morbius.
Nice.
A scientist named Dr. Michael Morbius is a man suffering from vampiric abilities and physical traits resulting from a biochemical experiment.
Nice.
He messed up, guys. Yeah. He did something he shouldn't.
He got a piggy face.
Right. He does.
Poor guy.
Superhuman strength and speed, as well as heightened senses, including night vision and echolocation. He possesses an accelerated healing factor as well and can transverse wind currents.
Wow.
He can't fly.
You're right.
He can
use the wind currents.
Yeah. Which is really weird. So if there's no wind, he's just kind of grounded.
He's also got a really rockin' in his original costume, sweeping V-neck.
Yes, yeah, true, he does.
It's a pretty badass costume.
He looked at a costume party, you know? He looked at the Halloween party. Yeah.
And so I also went alternate timeline, and I brought in Werewolf by Night.
Oh, I love it.
This is a good team, guys.
This is like a 70s team, practically.
Yeah, he's a victim of an ancient family curse. Jack Russell has struggled for years with his bestial alter ego, but in time, he's able to now take control of it more.
And did that... I mean, that had to be on purpose. They named him Jack Russell, like after the dog.
Right.
Jack
Russell's sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
So
fucked up. Powers and werewolf form. He possesses superhuman strength, speed, stamina, durability, agility, and reflexes. Superhuman sense of smell. He has razor sharp teeth and claws, able to rend light metals so he can tear through like car doors and shit. He's resistant to many forms of conventional injury and very hard to kill by conventional means. Though he can be severely wounded, he can recover. So he also has a healing factor here.
So silver bullet, he can come back from that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if it's taken out, I guess. Not to the heart, I would imagine.
I didn't read a lot of Werewolf.
Silver can affect it.
Did they do that?
Okay. Absolutely. And my number eight and final team member is Mordred the Mystic.
Ooh.
I threw a wild card in here, guys.
I like that.
He's a 6th century sorcerer who sought to control the mystical tome of the Darkhold.
Oh, that's the opposite of the Book of Vishanti.
Right. We have not talked about the Darkhold much,
yeah.
But I would love to dive into that because there's a current or was a current run of Carnage that dealt a lot into the Darkhold. It was really cool.
And in the 90s when they introduced the Midnight Suns, they had a comic for just about the Darkhold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a lot of like regular humans that like had knowledge of the Darkhold.
Right, and came into contact with it. Yeah.
Like all that Midnight Sun stuff, now that I've been looking into it, I really want to go back and
read it. Oh, it was fun. No, I loved it. It was like Marvel got like goth for like a couple years. It was really cool.
Yeah, when I was a kid though, I would toss those in the corner. I'd be like, oh, I got another one of these, and I'd throw it.
Yeah, no, me too. And then I think I picked them up 4 or 5 years later, and they were really good.
Yeah, so I'm going to definitely dive in there at some point. Mordred's powers. His powers are a result of the manipulation of the forces of magic and possession by the demon Chaithen.
Chthon or Chthon?
I'm not great with that, so I'm sorry. Mordred has superhuman stamina and durability. He has the ability to manipulate magical forces for a variety of effects, including levitation, control of elements, creation of mystical shields, and energy projection. He can also cast any spell contained in the Darkhold. But there's a caveat to this. He will lose both his sanity and his knowledge of magic when he is no longer possessed by said demon. So, that may come into play. I don't know. We'll see.
I like this. You're like two characters that have demon possession with them.
Oh my god, dude. There's like so many. There's Ghost Rider, which basically had, had a demon possessing him. The Son of Satan,
who's demonic
in his own right.
Lucifer, yeah.
And then Mordred. So now we're going to get into the Justice League Dark. Okay? We're going to go with Deadman. He's the first guy I have on here. Can't go Justice League Dark without Deadman.
My man, Boston Brand.
Boston Brand, who was murdered during a trapeze performance. Basically, he was then possessed by the living spirit of a Hindu god.
This is all pretty common, though.
Right, of course. And that way he could, you know, obtain justice for his own murder. His powers are he's able to pass through objects and could fly or float. He's able to possess any living being, human or animal, control their actions, and can communicate to others through the body. He has issues possessing those with stronger minds, like Batman, for example. And he also has problems with magic, as his spiritual form can be manipulated by it to some degree. Mm-hmm. So there's some issues there with Deadman. My second member, being brief on this, guys, is John Constantine. I've talked about him before.
We know who he is.
He's a working-class detective, an occultist, con man. He's a sorcerer. He's armed with the knowledge of many magical spells, rituals, curses, necromancy, illusions, invisibility, and can even use magic to time travel. John's most signature ability is synchronicity, wave traveling, which is instinctual supernatural ability for Constantine to make his own luck, which I don't think I mentioned the last time.
No, that's cool.
He's resistant to many psychic attacks, such as telepathy, possessions, and mind control. He also possesses mind teleportation, counter spells, elemental magic, telekinesis, and immobilization. His blood also has healing properties.
Nice.
So, if a vampire tries to bite him, it's basically corrosive acid and will kill the vampire. The next member, of course, you can't have Man-Thing without Swamp-Thing, guys.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Alec Holland, who was a scientist working in Louisiana swamps. Basically, he was killed by a bomb planted by some bad dudes. He was splashed into some swamp with burning chemicals and formed the humanoid Swamp-Thing. His powers. He can inhibit and animate vegetable matter anywhere, including alien plants, even sentient ones, and constructed into a body for him himself. As a result, bodily attacks mean nothing. He can easily regrow damaged or severed body parts. He can transport himself across the globe. He can transfer his consciousness to new form growth from wherever using vegetable matter that's present. He has superhuman strength and control over all plant matter, which bends to his will. Next one I have, this is a little off the page, guys. I'm going to Shade the Changing Man.
Nice.
Rack Shade, he's a fugitive from a militant plant meta in another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
He has an M-Vest, or what's called a Madness Vest. It creates a strong force field that repels weaponry and allows a degree of flight. It also distorts his appearance and can allow him to transport himself and others into the area of madness. He can also warp reality around himself or others.
Right.
Oh, that's a nice power.
Very powerful guy. My next one is Andrew Bennett, a.k.a. I-Vampire. For those of you that may not know. In 1951, after being turned into a vampire himself, and this is a really cool story, by the way, Lord Andrew Bennett turned his lover, Mary Seward, into a vampire, and she became corrupted by the power. She took the name Mary, Queen of Blood, and created a group of vampires called the Blood Red Moon, bent on taking over the world. The series of these comics follow Bennett into modern days. He tried to undo his mistake and take down Mary and the Blood Red Moon. So that was a cool story, bound for a movie, guys. This is it.
Yeah,
his power.
Or at least TV show.
He's got supernatural strength and speed, shape shifting into mist, bat, wolf, hypnosis, and healing factor. He can also turn others into vampires. My next member, you can't have Werewolf by Night without Frankenstein.
Nice.
This is going to be a battle, guys.
Yeah, this is crazy. This
Frankenstein is an undead body composed of many parts. We all know Frankenstein. His power, superhuman strength. He's unkillable.
He's basically a zombie in many respects.
Yes. Black Orchid is my seventh member.
Ooh, another
one. New shape-shifting version of Black Orchid is revealed to be Alba Garcia, and she works for Argus, so that's kind of her backstory. The other one we really never knew.
Right.
She's a human-plant hybrid with superhuman strength, speed, agility, and durability.
She's a human-plant hybrid?
Yeah.
Really?
She can fly, including into space, capable of reincarnation by mental transference to host bodies growing in stasis. A master of disguise capable of altering her appearance and voice, mystical connection to the plant world through the force of nature called the Green. So she's connected to Swamp Thing. My last member of Justice League Dark is Zatanna.
Ooh.
You can't have Justice League Dark without Zatanna.
No, you cannot. Zatanna.
She's a stage magician and an actual magician, like her father, Zatara.
Mm-hmm.
She has many of her father's powers relating to magic, typically controlled by speaking the words of incantation spelled backwards. As a skilled genetic magic-wielding magician, she has used her powers to command elemental forces. She can heal, transmute, and transmogrify objects, manipulate minds, and attack her opponents with blasts. She has resurrected cities from ruin, she's merged spirits, and she's manipulated time and space. Oh, and she's also a skilled illusionist.
Mm.
So that is my Justice League Dark.
Now, Donald, this is a very interesting but also very dangerous matchup for the planet. I mean, it's not going to be an Earth left by the time this is all said and done.
Or reality.
Guys,
this
is going to be fun.
Half the universe, actually half the universe in both the DC and Marvel universe could be dissipated, destroyed.
I saw this as a battle of Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I basically have all of Central Park just kind of being annihilated, but not going too far outside of there because we have so many other realms that we're dealing with.
That's true.
So I tried to contain it to where Earth wasn't completely destroyed. Unlike Kevin, who in one of our podcasts had a nuclear disaster. Yeah. Yeah. Just completely happened and destroyed everything. Gone. Yeah. So we all die.
Yeah. Nobody wins.
So with that, gentlemen, let the smackdown begin.
Dear Lord. Here we go.
Here we go with the story, guys. This is going to be like a radio show for me. Andrew Bennett's ex-lover is amassing a legion of the undead. Andrew in the Justice League Dark looks to change her mind, kind of talk her down from this madness, while the Midnight Suns arrive, looking to eliminate her, and Andrew along with her. This is where it starts. Shade, the changing man, immediately notices the firelit skull of Ghost Rider, knows this guy's a bad dude.
Yeah.
His skull is on fire, and you can see his skull. He knows he's a tough dude. So he just goes, okay, I'm going to send him to the area of madness. Completely taking Ghost Rider out of the playing field. Ghost Rider's gone.
Wow, just like that.
Just like that. Andrew Bennett begins his battle with Morbius, of course.
Right.
You gotta have vampire and vampire. Both fighting hard. Andrew bites Morbius, but to no effect. Morbius grabs Bennett, kind of in a bear hug, as Blade throws his silver chain around them both. Bennett can't get through that. Doesn't affect Morbius quite as much.
Because he's a science vampire.
He's a science vampire. So... basically, what Blade does is he grabs them both with the chain, wraps it around them, and he drags them out into the sunlight. While this injures Morbius and does damage him, it completely annihilates Bennett, and he dissipates into dust.
Bye, vampire.
Yep, so he's gone.
Yeah.
So we already have a couple guys already off the playing field. Mordred takes the initiative, because, you know, he's kind of the bad...
Yeah.
The bad, you know,
the black sheep
sorcerer,
of the family,
So he knocks Zatanna against a wall with one of his spells. She counters, but he dodges it. This gives Constantine enough time to cast a spell to pull the demon out of Mordred, instantly driving the man insane. Shade the changing man then goes, you know what? Boom, area of madness for you as well. And ships him off to the area of madness of Ghost Rider so they can be happily ever.
He's like, but I was already crazy.
So as Morbius heals, Deadman takes initiative, and he jumps into Blade.
Ooh.
Blade's not magical. He doesn't sense it.
No.
Deadman jumps into him, possessing him. He uses his body, grabs one of his silver swords, and decapitates Morbius, killing him instantly. Off the playing field for Morbius.
Morbius is like, wait, I thought we had a...
Now, here's a good one, guys. We have Man-Thing. He grabs Swamp-Thing, attempts to burn him. Swampy stumbles, overwhelmed by all the harm he's caused... and the guilt and fear he feels in his soul. He's starting to feel the heat. He's starting to feel this intensity. But then he realizes, oh, wait, I am the green. While right. you're part of it, guess what, buddy? You're part of me now.
Right.
He uses his immense powers to absorb Man-Thing into himself.
Nice.
And render him then permanently part of the green.
Nice.
I can see that.
End of the game for Man-Thing. He's off the playing field. Now, here's where Werewolf by Night steps in. He takes on Frankenstein, of course.
Okay.
Frankenstein is fast, but Werewolf's faster. Werewolf tears Big Frank limb from limb. I mean, he's slashing and cutting him and tearing him and jumping on him. Frankenstein is now just a torso and an arm. He slashes at Werewolf, cuts him deep. He still has one arm with the sword. He cuts him deep with his sword before he's completely torn apart. Bye-bye, Frankenstein.
Oh, poor Frankie.
Werewolf by Night is injured by this battle with Frankenstein. He stumbles and then turns into the silver sword of Blade, still possessed by Dead Man. Right through the heart, instantly killing the Werewolf by Night.
Damn.
Werewolf by Night is off the playing field.
Dead Man's doing more damage than I thought.
Than you thought, right?
Yeah.
Hellstorm, then. He's like, something's up with this.
Why are you killing all your buddies?
Right. He notices Blade now has, like, stepped in and killed two people. One of them was not a vampire. So right. He's like, something's up. So he uses his trident to cast Dead Man straight into hell. Bye-bye, Dead Man. Enjoy purgatory.
Aww.
Dead Man's off the playing field. Doctor Strange, though. Doctor Strange isn't going to... He's not Mordred.
Right.
He's not going to just jump out of the gate and start attacking.
Right.
He uses his mystical powers to bring back Ghost Rider and Mordred back to Earth, teleporting them back, bringing a couple guys back onto the field. But Mordred's still kind of nuts. He's crazy, you know. Right. Plus, he's in an area of madness. Ghost Rider's still a little shaken by it, but he's fine. Constantine, meanwhile, has placed the demon that resided in Mordred temporarily into Zatanna, giving her more than enough power to obliterate Hellstorm, which she does.
Nice.
So while Hellstorm was busy doing a few things with Blade and Deadman, that gave Zatanna plenty of time to take care of him. He is completely off the playing field. He has gone back to Daddy.
Okay.
Doctor Strange attempts to astral project himself into Constantine. Constantine senses something amiss and grabs Shade, the changing man, using him as a human shield to absorb the consciousness of Strange into the M-Vest. The overflow of magical energy explodes the vest and the wearer. Pieces of Shade, the changing man, come raining down upon Constantine. Bullocks, he says, as the blood and guts.
That wasn't what I thought I was going to do.
Mordred just stands there screaming at nothing as he covers his face and hands. So there's Mordred for you guys. Blade is now free of Dead Man. He approaches Ghost Rider, but Ghost Rider senses something is amiss. He's like, I don't know what's going on here. And he uses his chain of hellfire to split him in half, revealing it to actually be Black Orchid. Orchid attempts to reform herself, but is burnt away by an amazing amount of hellfire spewing forth from the Ghost Rider's mouth and eyes.
What?
Basically just burning her completely away.
Nice.
So Black Orchid is off the playing field. Frankenstein, he's still around, guys. He's just there.
He's limbs.
He doesn't die.
Yeah.
He calls for Swamp Thing. Help, Swamp Thing, or whatever. Swamp Thing finally snaps out of this soul fire thing. You know, he's back to the form. What he does is he uses his roots from the ground to sew Frankenstein back together and tells the roots to stay strong and keep him together.
Nice.
So Frankenstein is now being held together by Swamp Thing's powers. So you've got a ramped up, strong-ass Frankenstein now back on the playing field.
Under Swamp Thing's control.
Right. Well, sort of. Sort I of. Mean, he's letting him do his thing. Blade jumps on top of Constantine. However, this time he is fooled, as it's Mordred the Mystic he has jumped upon. You know, the sleight of hand that Constantine's so used to doing.
Right.
Mordred throws Blade from his back just as he is stabbed. Blade falls to the ground, stunned at what he has done. Mordred falls to the ground, bleeding out.
Right.
So Mordred's bleeding to death. Blade looks up to see a 7-foot-tall Frankenstein monster looming over him. Blade jams his sword into his gut. Frank growls and then picks him up, slams him back down against the ground. Just basically boom, boom, back and forth, back and forth. Blade swings around and jumps on Frank's back, stabbing him multiple times, nearly decapitating Frank. Frank tears his own arm off because he can't reach Blade. He tears his own arm off and uses it to extend his reach, grabbing Blade and bringing him around him and into a one-armed bear hug. Then, while he holds him still, Swamp Thing uses those roots to penetrate Blade multiple times all over his body, basically killing him and tearing him apart.
Aww.
He uses this, and as he does that, Frank falls to the ground, nearly lifeless, because he's almost decapitated.
Right.
He's bloody. He's falling apart. Ghost Rider rides towards Zatanna as Constantine approaches Mordred. Black Orchid lies on the ground, whatever dust pieces you see left over. She's gone. Doctor Strange is attempting to use another incantation to pull himself from the realm of the M-Vest.
Right.
He's inside there trying to figure it out. He's not gone yet. Ghost Rider brings a ring of hellfire up around Zatanna, who easily snuffs out the flames by sucking them inside of her and spitting them back out at Ghost Rider, who falls off his bike, sliding beneath the feet of a woman god near mad with power.
Right.
Constantine approaches Mordred. He dips his fingers into his gut, gets some blood, and begins to write an incantation with his own blood. Doctor Strange has now reappeared from the realm of madness and is quickly tied up by the rooted tentacles of Swamp Thing.
Oh no!
Who notices immediately that he's appeared and says, "I can't let this guy do too much." He binds him. He gags him. He's trying to keep him off the playing field.
For now.
Ghost Rider attempts his penance stare, only to be incapacitated by the madness of the demon he sees within Zatanna. Waiting for this moment, Constantine finishes the incantation on Mordred, bringing the demon back to his dying body, thereby banishing the demon and completely finishing off Mordred. Mordred is now completely gone. Zatanna easily finishes off Ghost Rider, eradicating all trace of the flaming skull. Doctor Strange uses his magic to create a fire around him that burns the branches and roots of Swamp Thing. He then turns the nearby ponds into acid, weakening Swamp Thing just enough to zap him back into Earth for the time being. So Swamp Thing is back into Earth.
Okay.
Doctor Strange has freed himself. So basically, we don't have many people left for the Midnight Suns or the Justice League Dark.
Right.
Zatanna begins her attack while Constantine prepares to lure Doctor Strange into the House of Mystery. Doctor Strange blasts Zatanna onto the front porch of the house as it appears out of nowhere. Constantine steps out, drags Zatanna inside and up the stairs into a room, shutting the door. Strange follows inside, approaches the door, blasts it open, only to find Dormammu, whom Constantine has made a deal with.
Wow.
The bodies of all the fallen and all that they may still contain are his if he helps them defeat Doctor Strange. Which he ultimately does, as he's been banished to the hell that is Dormammu's domain. Constantine shuts the only portal door, locking it and throwing away the key. Zatanna, Constantine, a temporarily paralyzed Swamp Thing, and a little bit of Frankenstein are all that remains as the Justice League Dark wins.
Wow.
And that is my SmackDown team matchup.
Is that it?
That's it.
Only, I like this. There's only one thing I see that I don't understand, though.
Yeah.
You believe that Dead Man could possess Blade. As you know, there's strong mind. Blade, I believe, has a strong mind. I don't think he can easily take over him like that, in my opinion.
Well, I think there's a big difference between Batman's mind and Blade's.
Well, yes.
I think Dead Man could easily take
I think Blade's got a strong mind, but he's very single-minded. He's like, destroy vampires.
He's in a battle. He's not thinking about possession or somebody getting inside of him. That's when Dead Man sneaks in.
How is Mordred killed at the end? I was trying to figure that one. He summoned the demon back into him, or
Blade jumped on top.
He was bleeding out. I had that, and then
right.
Constantine and then summoned the demon again, or
right?
Something?
Because the demon was driving Zatanna mad. So basically, what happens is that
he summons the demon out of Zatanna, because
right.
She's going crazy with power.
Right, she's going crazy with power, and he puts that demon right back into Mordred as Mordred's dying. So by the time, and Mordred's almost dead,
right.
So when Mordred completely just dies, the demon just goes with him.
Oh,
and that's it.
It was kind of, oh, I get it.
A 1-2 combo. That's a way to get rid of the demon and to get rid of Mordred.
That's very clever.
I try.
I like the Dead Man stuff a lot. It's so in-depth that I'm not arguing with it, and also just, I mean,
you know, I would actually read this. If this is actually like a story, I'd actually would sit down and read it. Not to blow smoke up your what,
yeah.
But you know, I actually like this.
The cool thing is there's so many, what's the, incarnations you could do too. Like you could add Brother Voodoo to the you know, like
there's a lot. I mean, in like just the Midnight Suns, there was two Ghost Riders on the original Midnight Suns.
Right.
So Johnny Blaze and Danny Ketch could have both been in there.
Right.
Easily. But I didn't want that. It was just too much Ghost Rider. So I thought I'd bring in like Hellstorm instead, who's
Hellstorm was fun. That was a fun
somewhat
one.
Similar.
Could Scarlet Witch be thrown in? I don't know. I just never remember.
No, I could only go with like people that were part of the Midnight Suns at any point.
She would have been a
and
good member.
There was actually quite a bit. And this is a good team, guys. Oh, it is. Midnight Suns.
Oh, it is.
It's just
the Constantine is like the big factor.
Right. Constantine's a tricky son of a bitch. You know, that's the problem. He always has an extra plan. He's sneaky.
Yeah, he plays some... You see, him and Doctor Strange, those guys play some serious chess.
Right. But Doctor Strange, instead of using an attack, he brings the other guys back.
Did you read a lot of Constantine?
No, I didn't read a lot of Constantine. No. I've never read a ton of Constantine.
Because in the SmackDown and this, you seem to know
a lot about him.
Yeah.
I just study.
You study, do my study.
Plus, you seem to like that movie too, Keanu Reeves. Like, you really got your
mind. You know what? I completely forgot that even happened.
Man, I walked out with such wood, let me tell you. Mm. Yeah. They were handing out, like, piles of it.
Firewood. It was in Canada.
It was in Pennsylvania, but it was just as cold sometimes. Yeah.
All right. Well, with that I think we all agree, right? We're saying yeah, Justice League Dark.
Yeah, can't.
I'm not gonna fight it.
I can't disagree. Although Doctor Strange, he's a tough son of a gun, but he can't do it by himself in this situation.
No, but it was kind of good because he was doing a lot of cerebral Doctor Strange type stuff. Like, okay, I'm gonna try it from this angle. I'm gonna try it from this angle.
It's just it's just that you don't have a true equivalent of a Swamp Thing on the Marvel side. You know, that's the problem.
And
big problem.
There's a lot of caveats and pieces that each of these Justice League Dark teams work well off of each other with. Mm-hmm. Like the roots of Swamp Thing being able to stitch, you know, Frankenstein back together.
Yeah.
Couldn't have worked for anybody on the Marvel side.
No.
Also, when you're doing like just an unkillable character, you're like, well, he's going to be there no matter what. So even if his head's there, Justice League Dark wins. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
and that's very clever with Swamp Thing just basically building a new body. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would actually read this.
Well, I like the Black Orchid... subterfuge. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, that was like her big thing, so I thought, I gotta put that in there. She's not, compared to the others, she's not a hugely strong character, so I tried. But, you know, I tried to make it fun with her. But this was a lot of fun to do. This is very time-consuming, but a lot of fun
probably
to do.
Probably took you 2 weeks to put that together.
In Marvel or DC, or both you guys, if you're listening, it seems like we got some people that might want to read this. Yeah. So maybe, you know, I'm available. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
Bring it with Bring checks. It. All right, well, that'll do it for this epic, I'm going to say this is one of our most epic.
Very extensive.
Extensive Superhero Smackdowns. Rate, review, and in order to do that, you should probably subscribe to us on iTunes.
And YouTube.
Or any podcatcher that you get.
We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're all over the place, guys. Look us up.
Show us some love.
Yeah, get us on YouTube, subscribe there. And with that, I'm Jared.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Donald.
And we'll see you at the Comic Shops.